Hi, this is Ricky Stewart, and if you want to listen to a Raiders podcast, then you should listen to the official one, Behind the Limelight, not this rubbish with Flaky Blakey.
Blake and the Pork. Blake and the Pork. Blake and the Pork.
It's Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork.
Hello and welcome to Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork and Matt. I'm the Pork.
I'm Blake.
And I'm Matt.
You're very silent there.
Previously known as Heather.
Yeah. Well, yes, yeah, Heather, our special guest permanently, Matthew Hollywood.
He's not in New Zealand anymore.
He's
not in LA either. No, he's stopped off on the way back. He's sunning himself on the Danny Levi Island and he's selling timeshares.
Yeah, and everyone, the price is going up. So if you want to get on Levi Island, please jump on. You know, there's a couple of people have come over. You know, with Timmy Williams suddenly doesn't mind a little bit of Danny Levi Island. You know, a couple of other fans.
There's plenty of people. There's plenty of people want a piece of
there. There's still a couple that don't, though.
That's true.
Dan, Dan.
I should point out we are, in fact, no, Dan doesn't. I should point out we are coming to you from the filthiest storeroom buried somewhere in the Bowser Civic, the location of which we will never reveal, will we, Blake?
No.
And we come.
I will for a price.
We come to you with extremely dubious support of The Greenhouse, the Canberra Raiders' number one fan forum on the internet, and from the good people at Landspeed Records. Come in and buy stuff from them because they love the Raiders like you do.
Let's go straight into the news. So the news is we're recording this on the Tuesday afternoon at just after 4 o'clock. So the team list has just dropped.
Just dropped.
We've just seen it. And I think when I say that a lot of people were disappointed in some of the names named, changes made, I won't be far off the mark. I think it's we're all in a bit of shock. We were kind of discussing beforehand and we sort of said there's no way Ricky will drop Hosking for Elliot Whitehead. He's done just that.
Well, look, I might be the dissenting voice here. I will never be disappointed to see Elliot Whitehead back in our side. You know, we haven't seen the C list against his name, but I'm pretty sure it's there. And him coming back in the side is great. And I'm a big fan of it.
I feel like it's one of those things where Ricky's obviously decided that he's going to put culture and
ahead of performance.
I guess legacy over form. And if you earned that spot in the preseason, then that spot's yours and someone's going to have to come and take it from you. So he's going to give Elliot Whitehead a chance. I guess Whitehead's got those games in him where he can be the best player on the field, but we've seen something special from Hosking. And as fans, we should probably try and be excited that we've now got someone at the club that we can cherish. And let's not death ride our captain. I mean, he obviously did a calf muscle. Who knows? There could be some Smokies going into the game and he's just named Elliot there, so there's no...
Why would you put Elliot straight back on the edge and expect him to play? I mean, obviously you won't play 80 minutes. But
he's not
going to
play 80
had,
minutes.
No, I would have had him on the bench and maybe playing 10 or 15 to give Smithies a spell. And then, you know, it's a bit of a contingency plan as well in case, you know, we haven't have an HIA to an outside back or, you know, we've seen back rowers go to centre. He could go to centre or... Or Young or Smithies could go to centre and he could go to back row. But it's just, I'm really disappointed.
Well, we should go through the team because we've got Jordan Rapiner at number one. On the wing, Nick Kotrick has come back in for the injured Sebastian Chris. He's in the two jersey. And we've got Javier Savage on
again,
the
I didn't think this would happen either.
I thought
that Ricky would have the sense to straight swap Schiller.
Matthew
killing it.
Timoko and Albert Hopewate in the centres.
Nothing against Hopper. I'd have Hopper back on the wing.
Hopper's been
and I'd have Schiller there.
Me
but
too.
I wouldn't have Nick Kotrick's done nothing to get back straight back in the team.
But James Schiller has also played right centre for a few times and
that's
maybe
true.
The reason.
But
maybe the
what
reason,
did he play in the trials? Left centre.
He played both.
The forwards
maybe
got Papali'i.
I'm just curious because the right centre in our is going to be defending against Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. So maybe he's decided that Hopewate and Kotrick are a better defensive pairing. Look, I'd pick Schiller too. He scored 5 tries in 2 games. He looks unbelievable.
He does.
But
he looks like, you know, when I was saying how there's guys that play reserve grade New South Wales Cup and just go, oh my God, they just look too good for this level. That's how he's looked in the last 2 games.
Oh, yeah. It was great for Raiders fans to be able to watch our cup side on the weekend before on Fox, which was
That's
awesome.
True. It was good.
There was some standouts. Schiller was great. Oh, I also thought Mooney and Puru were great.
Yep.
Weeks did a lot of good things. Simon and Wolford played really well. Zach, sorry, not Simon, the young one. He played really well.
So just finishing off the team list, Josh Papali in tarps in the front row. Levi, from very same from Levi Island, is at hooker. Hudson Young, Elliot Whitehead in the second row. Morgan Smithies at 13. The interchange, Tom Starling, Emre Guler, Zach Hosking, and Sami Solo, which means Adam Mariotto is the man who's been pushed out.
Yeah. He's the one to miss out. I actually thought, you know, at the start of the year before the first team was named, he was pretty much the next man up, you know, in terms of, in terms of the props and based on his incredible performance in the final against the Knights. One thing I did see during the week, which is quite interesting, was play the ball speed. And I think that's one of the things that the coaching staff really look at that we as fans don't always necessarily look at. And for the last couple of games, I think that Sami Solo and Emre Guler had the fastest play the balls.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I really noticed in that game against Newcastle, Sami Solo really finding his front and getting up playing the ball.
He finds really his front quickly. A lot, and it's actually really hard to get Emre down. He's actually managed. He's as thick as a tree trunk. So it's funny, you know, Adam Mariotta did a great job on the weekend where he had to go out to the edge, but he played a lot less minutes. And I mean, I was texting our thread when I was watching the replay again yesterday. It would be hard to drop Guler and Solo. They were both really effective, and we've got Horsburgh coming back next week. Hopefully, who knows? Because he was due back this week, and there's clearly something going on there.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been named in New South Wales Cup because there's a bit of confusion. I accused Tim of being wrong in the press conference at the game.
Yeah,
but because he was down on NRL.com as returning round four.
That's right.
But this is round three, and he got a 4-match suspension against the Broncos, so he already missed Cronulla game.
Yeah,
then he missed the semi final against the Knights. Then he missed Knights and Tigers. That's four games. So he is due back. So maybe we haven't seen the New South Wales Cup team. Maybe they're bringing him back through Cup. The other thing I noticed
him at the ground.
No, well, the other thing I noticed as well, there was that video of all the players boarding the plane to New Zealand. And there was I didn't see him in that video either.
I didn't, mind you. I also didn't see Nick Kotrick. So
no, I saw James Schiller. I went, okay, Schiller's 18th man.
That's what I thought. But they've
all these guys, I think, have gone over.
Yeah, they have. They've gone over it, and Seb Chris is the only one out. Look, he went off with a head injury assessment, and he didn't want to come off at the time during the match, so he was pulled off. But they pulled him off, and then he went and disappeared. A lot of them go off for about 5 minutes, and they come back, and they're looking at the play, and that's when you're certain they're going to pass. And others stay back there for a while, and I went to try and find that out, and Benny Pollock chewed me away and said, I'll come out and tell you. And he came out and said, no, he's not going. He's failed, so he came on. After the match, after I'd done the interviews on the field, I went up to him and I said, how's your head? And he said to me straight away, I'm not good. I don't remember. I didn't hear exactly what he said. He didn't remember, but I think he was like, I don't remember the incident and being on the field or something like that. And it wasn't good. And he was quite concerned about it. Mm. And I went and saw, God, I can't remember who it was in that team. And they said, no, he's...
Yeah, no, Ricky said the press conference.
You didn't even have a head knock, Pork. He's the one who had the head knock, and you can't remember. It's just old age.
Yeah, I'm just old, man.
Look, he copped a. It's if you'll see it. It's not the he picked up the player actually and put him down at the staff of Toa, but he copped a knee right to the temple. The contact didn't seem heavy, but it was very clean, and it's like one of those boxing punches that if it gets you on the jaw, you know they call it the button, or if it gets you in the temple, it's obviously the softest part of the skull. It doesn't take much for there to be severe damage, and he obviously didn't want to go off, and I'm glad he did, and
I'm glad he did. You know,
we're gonna miss him. He looked amazing.
No, fantastic. And the combination with Savage was was there to be seen, and what a luxury for Savage to be playing outside someone like Seb Chris, because Seb Chris looks to put
he's gonna give him space.
Yeah, but he's always looking for flick. He's looking for the pass. He's not really, Timoko's probably more thinks run first, whereas I think Seb Chris is a bit more, how can I put my winger away?
He's going to make you want to jump.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had last week, we said, we were putting out a quote for what the name would be in the tradition of Dorgeson, Leipana. Tim, did you come up with anything?
Yeah, something really lame, as I recall. Savage, I think.
That's out of character. I did hear Kravitz from one person.
Kravitz, which no, I didn't
That sounds like a card game.
Yeah,
we're going with Team X suggestion, which is Chris Cross, and it's Chris then an X. It's even a song that goes with it.
That what the relate? That only just dropped.
What?
It's going to make you jump. Oh, how good. And they're, aren't they related? And I know they call themselves brothers, but just to see that short side play.
I don't know if they are related or not. I've heard some people say, I'm not sure. I know they're very close. They're very close. Yeah.
Well, see a bit of joy on the field. It's amazing, right? Like when you get to see some of these players who have gone through some adversity, and both of them have. I mean, remember when Sebi took that whole season off?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. Obviously, I thought he was gone when he did that.
He worked as a career.
But I didn't think we'd see him back playing at that stage. Yeah. Look, we should actually, now we've looked at the Raiders side that's there, who they're playing, which is the Warriors, down in Christchurch at the desirable 6 p.m. Friday night spot, which everyone's fighting for. We got Tua Peake at the back because CNK is still out with a hammy.
That's probably good for us.
Very good for us because CNK...
He's a good little player, Tua Peake, but no, CNK plays great against us.
He's good. And also CNK... really gave Jared Croker torrid time in both games last year. So
he did. And then on one wing, they've got the Warriors equivalent of Jordan Rapiner in DWZ, Dallin Watney-Zelezniak, the man everyone loves to hate that's not a Warriors supporter. And on the other wing, they've got Marcelo Montoya. So
hate DWZ. Do you hate DWZ, Blake?
Not especially.
No, he's got up my nose a few times. But no, I mean, his character, and I like him for that. He's a real competitor, and he scores tries. Rocco Berry's in the centres with RTS. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is in there in the centres. He's not been moved back to fullback, so that shows, well, they have no intention to do that. He's going to be a centre this season.
Yeah.
Luke Metcalf's just re-signed for them, is in the halves with Sean Johnson.
His speed has worried us in the past. It did especially at the Croker 300 game.
That's right.
He's a good player.
That's really, you've got youth and speed and experience and guile in that. And Sean Johnson's not exactly slow himself, in spite of the fact, what is he now, 47?
33,
34. Yeah, but he's still bloody quick. In their front row, they've got Adam Fanua-Blake, who, is he the form prop in the comp?
Yes.
Certainly was at the end of last season.
He's one of the best. He's in the top four.
He started this season amazingly. He started amazing.
But they've got X-Raider, Mitchell Barnett in the front row partnering AFB, and in between them, under an injury cloud, but playing, is Wade Egan at hooker.
That's his first game for the year. He missed the first two, I think, didn't he, Matt?
No, he played the first game.
He got injured in the first.
So if he gets ruled out, that's massive for us. So much of their game revolves around Wade Egan in the first four plays of each ruck, kind of like it used to with us and Josh Hodgson. And then they like to sweep to the right off the back of either Sean Johnson playing first or even second receiver off the back of Fanua-Blake.
Yeah.
And then they really hit Chance and now Tua Peake and then on to Dallin, who runs the deepest line I've ever seen for a winger. And the reason why I think they've got two of us playing center is because they attack right dominant. So if that doesn't work, then they go back to two of us as Sheck, who tries to square people up. You know, it's just like a one-on-one. And that's why that might be the only reason, I imagine, that we've decided to go with Hopper and Kotrick, is because they're going to be marking up in defense. And I can't see how Schiller hasn't got a shot. And look, don't get me wrong, I'll always back Ricky. I'd love to have seen Schiller there, but it has to be that reason and that reason alone. And
I'm more upset about the Hosking one. I'm more upset about the Hosking one.
You can see for the Warriors, they've got on the extended bench, they've got just a Vunga, who we know can come up and go into hooker. And at a pinch, Dylan Walker can. We've seen it. And Freddie Lussick, I guess. So they've got a few options there if Egan comes out. Freddie Lussick, I think, has been playing there when Egan was injured.
Yeah, he can play
there. We've got Jackson Ford and Kurt Capewell, who's now he's the Deltones man. He's had more clubs than the Deltones.
Then the Deltas.
Yeah, that's right. Pee Wee Herman. Jackson Ford, Kurt Capel on the second row. Tohu Harris, the old stager in the 13 jersey. On the bench, they've got Lussick, Tom Ale, Bunty Afoa, and Dylan Walker. So it's really only one big unit out. Tom Ale's not small, but Bunty Afoa is
huge. Yeah,
so he's probably got the size, but...
This is interesting. This is interesting, Pork. I don't see them running out that bench because... Wade Egan's obviously injured, and he's either back this week or next week. They've got one forward. Like, they've got Bunty Afoa and Tom Ale. Like, you're not going to carry Lussick and Dylan Walker on the bench, I don't think.
Dylan Walker's, like, comes on and plays, like, 13, and he's been so good for them. But he's had a renaissance, as has Wade Egan, I've got to say. When Wade Egan was at Penrith, I thought he was just, like, the most...
Stodge.
You know.
yeah, the most sort of average. But now he's like one of the best hookers in the
country. It's like the bloke that Todd Payton took up to North Queensland. Robson.
Reece Robson, yeah. He was always highly rated, though.
I always thought that was Dodge. And then all of a sudden you think, the work really well. So maybe just in view of that, we need to look at who's the extended bench. So they've got Pompey, which is he's got to be a Hardwick. Tavanga must be a Hardwick. Tamari Martin, Hardwick. Jacob Laban, I don't know anything about, so I'm not even giving him even a half a Hardwick. And then you've got Chanel Harris-Tavita, that's half a Hardwick. So they got 3.5 Hardwicks on their extended bench. We got Schiller, Hardwick, Weeks, half a Hardwick, Mariota, half a Hardwick, so that's 2. Trey Mooney, I'm giving him a Hardwick. Throw up to 3. And Zach Woolford, Hardwick or a half Hardwick?
Don't look at me. I don't know where we've gone with this run sheet because we've gone from like, okay, let's just name
the looking
team,
at that, so we have to
and
get
then to then we've so then we've gone to like the other team and now we've gone to the extended bench. So how do we go back to all?
I don't know, but the thing is when you do a run sheet, you generally give it to other people as well.
The pork has just been smelling the stench and where the cart is off.
All right, right. I'm gonna let Blarko's now having a tantrum, so I'm going to let him go back to his thing. But the pork smoky for this week, pork smoky, is that Schiller will come in off the extended bench.
He won't.
Whether that's
he's not coming in, mate. Won't. He's not coming in.
Won't.
That's pork smoky. You can say he won't, but pork smoky, and it always gets up. You know that. Always gets up. All right, go on, Blarko.
I've got the shits.
I know you do. Really? I hadn't guessed.
I don't know if you guys have watched. I haven't got the run sheet here, and you'll be able to cut a little bit of this, so we cut in like ready. I don't know if you guys watched the game against the Storm on the weekend, but for me, they really pulled the Warriors apart through the middle. And looking at our strengths and looking at that side, yeah, they got Fanua Blake. But Mitchie Barnett starting at prop.
I know. After him, it drops off.
And Tohu Harris gets really tired in defense. He does a lot of work, but he's aging. So if we can punch him through the middle, and maybe that's the reason, you know, we've selected Pasami Solo and we've selected Gula is because of the play, the ball speed. That's going to be where it's going to be won, you know. And but this is our hardest game for the year so far. The Warriors have looked fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they're sorry, mate.
I was just going to say that first 20 minutes against the Sharks, they looked unbelievable. But
well, I thought they were going to run away with that game, and then they – and then against the Storm, I guess they had a good second half. So, you know, hopefully they don't put two halves together.
The good thing for us is some of our Kiwi players are actually from Christchurch. Did you know
that? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you an interesting stat about this game, and then we'll go back to all our other bits of news and stuff like that. But the Warriors' win percentage at Auckland, right? Yeah. 60%. Do you know what it is in grounds, other grounds in New Zealand? Like, so whether it's, you know, Christchurch, Hamilton, Wellington, etc.
Yeah.
30%.
Yes.
It drops away massively, or they don't have much of a home game. And I kind of knew that sort of anecdotally. I do remember sort of that maybe other teams have beat them outside of Auckland. But a friend of mine sent me that little statistic. And yeah, it was very interesting.
That's a massive, that's statistically, like in any measure, that's statistically relevant. Like,
that's huge.
Like, once you go to that, like if you went down to 40 or a 50, you could say, oh, well, really that might not bear, but 30%.
Yeah. So they've won 4 out of the last 13 games.
Wow.
Outside of Auckland. But I just wish this was at, what was that game last year? Was that Hamilton last year? It was like the loosest game of football you've ever seen.
Yeah, that's right.
Where they had 100 people run on. Did you see that? I was watching it live. I've never seen it. I would have been like bad time slot for you. But I've never seen anything like it. They just people were just streaming on like faster than the security could stop them. It was very, and they were all ages and genders, and you know, they were.
I've spent a lot of time in New Zealand, as you guys know, because we're always doing a pod from over there. But I like the Warriors and I like what they're doing, and I want them to be successful because I want New Zealand to get a second side and I want it to be in Christchurch. Mm-hmm. And I love that we've got a strong Kiwi connection. And as a club, we always have.
Yeah.
Since Tim Sheen's brought a bunch of players over. And they're some of our favourite players. Quentin Pongia.
Yeah,
Ruben Wiki.
Sean Hoppy.
Yeah.
Sean Hoppy was
great.
Not
so much. Not so much.
93, mate. It was fantastic.
Stop with the Hoppy hate.
Do you remember the Ricky Stewart, Sean Hoppy story? When they were driving and they were heading out down south to go to the ski fields at one stage. And he got to the border of the ACT in New South Wales going south. And he stopped. And he said, oh, you're going to have to drive. I've only got an ACT license.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is that true?
That's a true story. That's a magnificent story. Oh, look, Ricky told the story, whether it's true or not, I'll leave it to that. But it's a good story. Look, the thing that that worries me is Melbourne Storm are playing the same game as we are. It's a very simple game, lack of errors, lots of pressure, getting into the grind. And they had to win that match with a last gasp aerial try, which means that in spite of that, the Warriors are still scoring points.
Yeah, but look, you know, our defense is much improved this year. And I think we've got a new defense coach this year, Matt. We got rid of Madge, the myth, and replaced him with Justin Gitto. And the defense, you know, there's been some personnel changes, which obviously help. Smithies has done a great job in the middle. You know, Hosking's, well, he's done a great job at the edge too. But yeah, the defense is a lot better. It's obviously will be a close game. I certainly don't expect us to blow them out of the water. But even you look at games against the Warriors, even in the past years gone by, when one team's been up and one team's been down, generally they've been pretty close. Yep. And I actually saw, you know, the Raiders and the Warriors have played each other something like 50 times, and it's 26 mm-hmm. to 24 to us. So it's always been a close thing.
Yeah, they've been good games. I mean, who would have thought that we would have given them a run like we did last time? And it came down to that kick, the Croker kick, and then obviously we went to extra time.
Yeah. Oh, and the Seb Chris whacked in the face, no try.
Yeah
that didn't help as well.
No, that was ridiculous.
But that's one of the motivators that I'm sure will be going with the boys. Last season, there was two incidents. One, where we didn't get that call with Seb Chris, and we should have, and that really could have made a difference, and we could have stolen that match right at the end anyway. But secondly, I don't have a problem with a team celebrating when they win. And the Warriors not only won in Croke's 300th game,
they laid it up. Sean Johnson laid it up.
They went a little bit beyond there, where you think to yourself, actually, this is a big event. We can celebrate. But
CNK was very respectful.
He was very, but there was a couple there that were basically.
Sean Johnson was.
I've never forgiven Neil Blake from when he was at Manly.
Oh, the wah-wah. Oh, come on.
Oh, that was good. That was good value. I enjoyed it.
Rugby league's theatre. Rugby league is theatre. It's entertainment. Theater. You need heroes and villains, you know.
But I guarantee that Ricky and the lads will be using images of Seb getting hit in the head and getting nothing for it. And the celebrating Warriors at Canberra Stadium last year, Toots's 300th, and there'll be a fair bit of motivation to go out there and explain to them exactly, you know, who we are and what we stand for at the moment.
Okay, now we're completely out of whack, but we're going to go cover off the bits of the news that we didn't cover previously. Sewergate.
Oh, Sewergate.
What can you tell us? You were on the ground, Tim. How bad was the smell?
So I came back in from just after I talked to Seb Chris and I talked to one of the other players. I can't remember who, but I came in. You walked in. There was a whole lot of people lined up down the walls to welcome the players back in because they were still mostly out there. The smell hit you straight away. I'm talking, this is the sort of thing when you think, oh my God, where is the freshly laid turd? We are talking egg curry.
Everyone knows that.
Rival fans want to know how close were you to Jordan Rapana?
Relatively close. Why?
No, if you watch the travel video that came out today, a bunch of the Raiders guys said they don't like flying next to Rapana because he's messy.
Yes, no, I heard that too.
Tom Starling said he stinks, and they're just mucking around.
Takes a lot of space. But coming in, and there were people there, it was unbelievable, and you were hoping it was just in the area you were. You just walked into someone and crop dusted you. Nah, it was thick in the air. I mean, thick. You could cut that. You could hang your jacket on that smell. It was so strong.
How did you were on the sideline? Yeah. There's photographic proof near Corey Parker.
I was.
He looked as though he probably had splashed on a fair bit of cologne. How did he smell?
He was good. He looked sharp. He was good looking. He was very easy on the eye. He was perfectly sent out. There was not a crease in his suit. He looked
Was he
fantastic.
Getting much abuse from the crowd?
Yeah, heaps.
Oh, that's good.
When he came back in, I was in the tunnel with
any particular choice words you'd like to, you know, you could.
Quote. Oh, there was a lot of, you know, how do you like expletive Canberra now? And stuff like that. And it was going the whole time. Lara Pitt found it quite amusing at point two, I can report. Thought it was very, very good. I suspect he might have been rolled out for that purpose.
You have
came
to
past, I said, I did say to him, and how are you enjoying the nation's capital today, Mr. Parker? And he smiled and kept.
Oh, well, there was a wonderful post from the Canberra Radius social media department, and they've done some great work over the years, and I think this is one of their best, where they said, welcome Canberra's new tourism ambassador, Corey Parker.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. He wore it. He wore it well. Like he copped the abuse because he was right near the sideline, and wherever he went, because they walked him up for that thing in the corner before the match.
Yeah.
And he was copying it all the way up there. People were like, you remember the time when the storm came in 2010 and people waving the spoons and stuff? Like, it wasn't quite to that level, but people were coming down.
Yeah, that was rough. I got pretty caught up in that, in some of that stuff. And
they weren't
expecting it. They thought little old Canberra, you know, because there'd been a couple of places prior to that and they hadn't really copped it. And then they went to Canberra and because I think they'd been, the only place they'd been was like North Queensland before that, where, you know.
They saw a lot of cheat. We had had,
you know, we'd sort of been, you know, the whipping boy for the storm for so long. I think it was, you know.
And continued to be for quite a while too.
A lot of the frustration came out.
Yeah.
I think Elliot's starting.
Well, that's what it says on the team sheet.
That's right.
Yeah, I think little birdie just told me he's starting.
Look, yeah, if he wasn't going to start, they wouldn't name him to start.
Well, I can confirm it wasn't Elliot Whitehead who was the source of the smell. But it was so disgusting. Like, it was so prevalent. It was vile. It was disgusting.
So we've established the smell was really bad.
I walked straight up the other end, and by the time you got to where the press conferences was and where the things, it was nowhere near as bad and you could breathe again.
We've established the smell was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky used that as an opportunity in the press conference to advocate for a new stadium.
He did.
And look, it's definitely got the talk happening again. There was some interesting sort of stuff going on yesterday with Sports Minister Yvette Berry blaming the Raiders for opening a sewer inspection hatch to unleash the smell. Apparently that wasn't true. It's not the case at all.
No, I haven't seen any evidence that was true.
No. Well, the ground managements have said that's not the case.
Right.
So there's been a bit of to and fro and a bit of, you know.
And, of course, the interesting thing is the ground managers are actually hired by the federal government, whereas the local government is just hiring the stadium.
Yeah, right. Oh, I guess, the whole AIS precinct, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's the go. Look, I don't know what the source of the smell was, but they're right. The stadium is archaic. It's outdoor in an inhospitable area. You know, the Brumbies just went over to, you know, Dunedin and then sat underneath the roof in worst weather.
Yeah, well,
a
the
big
other thing...
crowd.
Yvette Berry's came out and said today, but if we are going to try and do something with a roof, it's going to blow the cost out spectacularly. So whether or not we get a roof, I think a roof might be a bridge too far.
Who is this Yvette Berry?
Sports Minister.
Okay, let's all find out what her email is and let's just blast this sour piece of work. I mean, seriously.
No, but the reality of the situation is this. We can attack the local government as much as we want. There hasn't been a major stadium refurb done in this country which hasn't had absolutely significant input from the federal government coffers.
Oh, yeah.
Not one.
No.
You go up to Townsville, which has a smaller population base than us by...
And would only be, well, it's only used by one team.
But what has it got that Canberra doesn't have?
Bobcatter.
Marginal seats. You go over and you look at the Sydney Football Stadium, which was built in 1988. 10 years after Canberra Stadium and was declared 5 years ago, 6 years ago, completely not fit for purpose and bulldozed and remade using what? Federal government funding.
Well, I think the model is, if you look at the Tasmanian Stadium and everything else, it's usually 50-50.
Yeah, and it comes through this. So you're saying, look, Penrith needed a new stadium. Absolutely. There is absolutely no question. Their need was as, if not greater, than the Canberra Raiders, like greater than Canberra. Their stadium was dilapidated. Did they get one though? Yes. What do they have out there in Penrith that we don't have here in the ACT?
It's one of the most marginal seats.
What do they have? They have marginal seats. So
it is one marginal seat.
There's seats all around it though, they're impacted. What I've heard suggested by people, and I'm apolitical and have no opinions on this whatsoever.
Not allowed to.
Is that, no, I'm not allowed to have an opinion on that. But what I've heard said by other people, and I can't endorse one way or another, is, you know, maybe there needs to be marginal seats in the ACT. Maybe there needs to be the position where people who are currently in their sitting seats are worried they might lose it because they're not pushing on to get a 50-50 funding split from the federal government in order to get these, because they think to themselves, well, we don't have to do anything for them because we've already got their vote. Now, I don't personally endorse that. I've just heard that.
One of David Pocock's main platforms, agenda, things he was running on was the stadium.
Yeah,
and got a lot of support on that basis, and I he's still pushing for it. But again, you know, he's an independent senator.
That's right.
He can only do so much.
He can, but he has votes. But the one thing is that both the federal, major federal parties, the Coalition and the Labor Party, will have seen that it is actually possible to upend the status quo in the ACT and the voting patterns.
Yeah.
And David Pocock has definitely been a man of his word in fighting for the things that he said. So
he's going to be around for a long term. I don't think he's a one-term wonder. I think he's got that seat.
I think he's actually representing the populace, which is what politics is about. So, you know, rather than putting pressure on the local government, I think they you know, the suggestions I've heard is perhaps they should be putting pressure on the federal sphere instead, because that's where the money will come from.
Okay. Another thing that happened out at the stadium, there was a We Are Canberra painting.
There was.
Slightly controversial as well. I didn't think it was that controversial, but GE from the Greenhouse, fired major up. Sponsor, was very fired up.
Very
about
fired
this.
Up. And look, I'm 100% behind GE. What the hell is orange?
Me too. They're not Canberra colours. Canberra's always been blue and yellow when it comes to
I know. You know what? Actually, I spoke to someone that was involved with this process, and they're going to paint the other side, because you know how there's the two sort of big concrete sides? They're going to paint the other side next week or something, but won't show us as much on TV as that one showed up. But they actually chose those colors because they didn't want to be like seen to be endorsing any one particular team over the other. It just so happened that
it just so happens to be the exact Pantone color of GWS.
Yeah,
the exact. That's just a complete coincidence.
Well, GWS don't play there.
I know, but choose ACT's colours, blue and yellow. It's on it's on the jersey. It's on our shoulder, you know, like
maybe that would be seen to be too pro Brumbies, or maybe when Parramatta came along, GE would get upset about that as well. So, you know, you're never gonna please everyone. I didn't think it was that bad myself.
No, I'm 100% behind GE here. He's absolutely right. What the hell is that colour doing at the stadium?
Okay, so also coming out of the game, Xavier Savage and Ethan Strange both were charged. Ethan Strange, obviously, for the try-saving tackle against the Forbes Ferrari, in the corner,
ironing out Charlie Stone,
and then gave him a real serve while he was on the ground, which you know we all love to see. He escaped the fine for that one, and then Savage, I'm assuming it was the hip droppy sort of thing.
Is that what he
got charged? You know how the center went off. I watched the game and rewatched the game and tried to work out what he actually got charged. I think that's what it was for.
Stafford toe went off because he had his ankle was done.
It was like a weird hip drop thing that Xavier Savage did.
Well, it couldn't have been too bad.
It wasn't really a hip drop, but that's where he sort of got tangled up under Savage.
Yeah.
And that's what he went off from. And I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that's what it was.
Just before that point, Toa came out of the line to try and absolutely sort out Hudson Young, and he hit him really, really well. And Hudson was hurt, like in the quad. I think that's where he made it. And you could see I was watching Hudson because I thought, gee, that hurt. But who it really hurt was Toa, because he got not just his shoulder, but his head in it. And he was struggling for a while. And it wasn't long after that the ankle injury hit. And I think it was because he wasn't doing very well and fell awkwardly.
Mm. Okay, that's enough for the news. Let's go into the segment that's back again for Feeder Watch.
Feeder Watch.
Matt, you got any news on David Feeder? He's coming. Have you seen him? Any sightings?
No, he's still looking for his pec somewhere off the Burley Heads.
I thought he might be in LA getting some stem cell treatment.
He could be, or just eating horse pills. Des Hasler style, just, you know, running decoys. He's not named this weekend.
No,
so
he's due back between rounds 4 and 6, according to the sometimes unreliable NRL.com website.
Well, we do have our eyes and ears out posted at Canberra Raiders HQ to see if he's touring the facilities any stage. And when we find out,
I think he's already toured the facilities.
Oh, yeah, they're touring them again. And if that happens, you, our loyal listeners, will be the first to hear, because that's how devoted we are to Feeder Watch.
Yeah, if anyone's on the Gold Coast and they get another shot of Ricky at Gold Coast Airport, send it to me, please.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks like, so, you know, it is disappointing not to see the horse straight back in the side, but yeah, I think he probably needs to get, miles in his legs.
Yeah, it's looking like
he's not returning from injury. He's not returning from injury. So I thought, I wonder if they'll want him to you know, come back through cup, which was what they used to do in the old days.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really happen anymore.
No.
And B, it's not as though he was injured. Like, he's been training as much as everyone else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It happened to Jared Croker. It happens. You bring some guys back through cup. If our squad's that strong, There's nothing wrong with bringing some guys back through cup, you know. And
yeah, there's got to be exceptions to that. I'd say Horse was in there. But, you know, another part of Pork Smokey would be Elliott's not going to start in Hosking years.
No. There's no, they would not name Elliott Whitehead. And then there's no.
Pork Smokey is always right. It always comes up. I don't know if I fight against it.
It's never been right.
I don't know if I fight against it.
Now let's go into the most popular segment of the show.
Ask Clown of the Week.
Still looking for a sponsor.
We are. We're still looking for a sponsor. And look, I'm not sure how much clearer we need to make it to you people. We are for sale. You want us to say something? You give us money. We'll say it. We're stupid. You want me not to wear pants? I won't wear pants. You want Matthew to shave half of his head? He'll do it. Okay? We're for sale. You pay us the money. We'll do the act. Okay? And this segment is...
You want Arnie J to get weird? He already is,
so you don't have to pay for that. You want him to hand over the photos? That's going to cost you.
Yeah. My Ask Clown of the Week is James Graham and the Buy Round podcast.
Oh.
Because they've launched a segment last week, The Idiot of the Week.
My goodness, The Idiot. What does that remind me of?
What now? I don't want to say, it's a direct ripoff, but gee, it's awfully familiar. I mean, we're used to the Green Machine podcast ripping off our segments, but you know, I guess it's flattery because we're moving up in the world.
What's the Simpsons quote of this? If there's anyone but Steve Harvey, you're ripping off my bit.
Imitation.
Great form flattery.
Yeah, it is. It is. So James Graham and the Buy Around podcast, whatever that young dude producer dude they've got.
Yeah.
That's my Ask Clown of the Week. Who have you got, Tim?
Well, I'm going to go for someone. We used to have his own very own segment on this show. I'm going to go for Johnny Bateman because he carried on like a chop of pork. Now, it was strategic. It was. He went out there and ever he needed to. How he did not get sin bin for knocking down that ball in the replay, if you look at it, his side was under the pump. He knew they were going to get scored on, and he wanted to give away a penalty in 2 points because he knew we'd kick it. He turned around and looked to see that Goff was there, and then he did the play. He knew he was giving away a penalty. It was the epitome of professional foul. Then when Javier Savage regained the ball in that first torrid 20 minutes of the second half, and then overcame Jaden Sullivan, who was obviously by that stage had exposed himself as not being a very good footballer.
Or defender anyway.
Yeah, came in and roughed him up. And Javier is trying to push away. And Johnny comes in to spark it up again because, again, he wanted to slow the play down.
Also, Savage had absolutely belted Bateman just a couple of minutes before when he came. You see that when he jammed in on him, Matt?
Yeah.
He absolutely belted him, which is a new feature to Savage's.
It is.
Another little, I've said but my main.
That's my ask.
Yeah, I've said mine. I've
got oh, and otherwise, when I went after the match to try and get him as an interview and he was there, I can't share with you on this thing because we don't swear on this podcast. I can't share with you.
Yeah, we do.
But he invited me to fornicate off in a direction with my equine transport.
Go fuck your horse. What does that mean?
I don't swear.
What does it mean, Matt?
I believe the actual term is go F yourself and the horse you rode in on.
Is that what he actually said?
No, but it was along those lines. And then I looked at Aiden Caesar, who smiled and laughed and then just waved politely.
Is that what he actually said? No.
Look, it's Johnny, so I can't understand what he said, but I guarantee you it was...
I like Johnny.
He was not... Oh, no, I love him. I still love him.
My son came home from the game and he said, Dad, I now hate John Bateman.
I still love him. All the way
it's great, though. It's like that relationship we have now with him as the villain and all the fans booing him. It's great. And
I still love him.
You expect him to do what he did for us, for Balmain. And
He's trying to fire them up. Look, he's trying to fire them up. He
didn't have a great game. He was outplayed by Hosking. And what was amazing in that game is when they switched over to the other side. Hosking switched over as well. It's just they kept that rivalry and... And clearly those 10 minutes, Porky was trying to slow the game down. And my ass clowns, just the trolls on the internet that were telling Jordan Rapana to get up because he's faking it. He got whacked. He got whacked hard.
Well, I'll tell you who else is an ass clown that was telling him to get up because he was faking it. Was Corey Parker.
Corey Parker, I know.
The perennial ass clown. I could be ass clown of the year, Corey Parker. He's on top of the leaderboard.
He's the front runner right now. Yeah. Like I didn't enjoy having the Fox... Corey Parker, who's a bit of a dick, and then you've got Steve Roach, who's clearly just the biggest homer that there is. Like it's just, you know, it's like having Spud Carroll when you watch the New South Wales Cup. It's just such a hard watch to listen to these guys commentate. And So yeah, they're mine, I guess. Actually, and whoever was the clown that decided to paint that thing orange, it looks stupid.
I've got another Ask Kind of Man. So Corey Parker mentioned, actually, it was the referee Goff as well, because I don't know if you saw both times the Raiders went the captain's challenge. Did you see he like just shook his head like, you idiots. I've clearly you're right. How can you even
Jordan
challenge Rappener, me?
Historically, when he calls for a captain's challenge,
two from two, baby. Two
I know, but this
and
is
both
this
times.
These the outliers.
Both times when the Raiders went the challenge, he watched the replay. He shakes his head in pure contempt.
Yeah.
So he's
we
master.
Did.
Having said
we
that,
did.
I'll often complain about the refs. Tigers fans are spewing.
Yeah, we got a lot of calls in that game.
13-7 penalty count.
The good teams get the calls, Matt. Both of you made the point, right? Our boys were finding their fronts. They find their front. They get up and do quick play the balls. We got a lot of penalties for them trying to get us off our front and slow the play of the ball down. And Goff wasn't having any of it. So they can have spit as much as you want. The amount of effort they were trying to do to turtle players who they couldn't, but because they spent so much time, they were giving away six again or a penalty. That was about five of those penalties. So
there was one where I'm pretty sure we knocked it on and they completely missed it and we regathered the ball.
And they did score their first try off the back of two things. One was they had to play the ball where the guy playing the ball stepped to the right. He stepped off the mark, and then we were called offside. And then Appy Korosau threw it into Papali'i, another one, which Harry Grant did that, and he was penalised the opposite way. But Appy Korosau did it, and Papali'i was injured. It was when he hurt his thumb. He was down on the ground and Appy went to the right, passed to the left and hit the
correction there. It was his second and third fingers that he dislocated.
Okay.
As I watched them being taped up. But also there was that strange period in the second half where we suddenly got the ball back and the pass that we'd done out to the wing that went astray that they'd knocked down and then we subsequently done was so forward it wasn't funny. It was not even vaguely right and he missed that one and he should have got that one. So there was one in our favour.
All right. He's back. We missed him last week, but Danny Stewart.
Yeah, this is Danny Stewart, the half-brother of a Canberra Raiders coach, Ricky Stewart. Hey, Corey Parker. Corey, I know you listened, mate. Hope you enjoyed the stench on Saturday, mate. That was for you, cockhead. Now, in regards to the controversy flowing around that I was somehow involved in that I was responsible for opening the sewer hatch there and emitting the spill across the ground. Look, I'm not going to confirm or deny that. What I will say is me and Rick had a beer on Friday arvo at the Deakin Footy Club there and did a bit of a brainstorming session on how we could make Canberra Stadium an even tougher place for away teams to come, and one of the ideas that Rick threw up was to make the entire ground smell 10 times worse than one of Timmy Gore's rotten egg farts. Now, I know Rick spoke after the game about how unfortunate, how crap it was. Clever pun that one, wasn't it? But crap it was for the home fans to have to endure the stench, and it is unfortunate from that standpoint, but it's also a small price to pay for Corey Parker having to stand there for 2 hours and take in the shit smell. So that one was for you, Cozza, you fuckwit. Now, in regards to the two games we've had so far, my pre-season predictions have pretty much come to light. Danny Levi comfortably looking like the best rake in the comp. Xavier Savage is scoring meat pies for fun, and Zach Hosking is looking like the club's greatest signing since Danny Galea. everything's going swimmingly at the moment. I guess the only gripe I've got is we've won both games 13+, so that's going away a bit from the Danny Stewart 2023 game plan, but I guess it's a small price to pay. Now, in regards to the trip across the touch on Friday night, I'm not expecting the Warriors to pose too many problems for us. They're leaking points for fun at the moment. They're 0-2, and we should go over there and do a real number on them. So looking forward to the game, expecting another 13+ victory, and go you Green Machine.
Well, you had to think he was part of it.
Yeah. look.
He also doesn't like Corey Parker, which I like.
No, look.
He hates him. No one hates Corey Parker more than Danny Stewart.
I think he's just trying to deflect from the situation. I don't think Danny Stewart did anything deliberately. I think he was just trying to store his gear and he was just having a joke.
Now, you know how I mentioned Idiot of the Week before?
Yeah.
You know there's now Wayne Bennett now has an illegitimate long-lost brother as well? Is that right?
Wayne Bennett.
Wayne Bennett
on Bloke in the Bar.
Yeah. Well, Bloke in the Bar's good.
Is it? Is it really?
Oh, it's better than some. Better than some.
Tim doesn't listen. Yeah. Tim, like Alan Tung, doesn't actually listen to podcasts. So
I saw Alan on the weekend.
But when he does, really good. he'd probably listen to. By the way, we can't be the third most popular Canberraters podcast anymore because there are now only two.
No. We are the podcast formerly known. I know, as the third most.
But popular. So we're at worst the second most popular and potentially the most popular. We'll leave that for others to call or decide.
Hang on. Who's the most popular then? Raider Nick. Nick and the Brick.
Raider Nick and the Brick is no more.
It's no more.
Nah.
The Brick got sick of Nick.
Yeah.
I don't believe that to be the case. What about the Bad and Mean podcast?
Didn't you know that guy?
Dave Kavanagh is legend. Absolute legend.
Well, they might come back and release another episode.
Right.
They've done that once before, just mysteriously, just from the ether, release some episode and then vanish without a trace again. But yeah, as it stands, it's Green Machine Podcast now because there is no Behind the Limelight this year.
Benny.
Yeah, no, I was talking to Benny about it yesterday and he said they're focusing on other things. I said it was a shame because, you know, I really enjoyed especially the ones with the new players.
Yeah.
Well, the Hohepa Puru one was incredible.
I was watching him during the cup match. The amount of input he has to the coaching staff about what's going on, what needs to be done. Like, he is so involved in the team. He's not just doing his own role. He's looking at everything. He's reporting on what he sees, and he works his guts out.
Yeah. So what he's going to do. So there's a lot.
He's a big part of the club. Big part.
Yeah. So what he's going to focus on and the Raiders media team focusing on is more like reels and like, you know, there's a limited audience for a podcast like this. Whereas if you like stuff like, you know, TikTok and Instagram reels and stuff can get hundreds of thousands of views and obviously you're better off putting your time and effort to,
agree with that.
Club for that. So
you can always see it, you know, the travel video or the,
yeah, it's that sort of stuff.
Your favorite GIO stadium thing or you're already seeing it.
Maybe we should be following that instead.
No, well, maybe we should be getting Benny Pollock on our show and maybe some of those young players on our show as well. That's maybe the next step.
As you mentioned, strangely, you mentioned that I actually talked to Benny about that the other day coming on. He is very, very keen, but he made one stipulation that I wouldn't be on it. Because he doesn't like me and thinks I'm an idiot. Oh, look, that's as may be, but there is at least one or two people out there actually like listening to me.
Yeah, a couple. At least one person bought a pork t-shirt as well.
Yeah, there was some guy on the sideline wearing a pork t-shirt. Hey, maybe I'll get the show as your pork, you know. It was up online, wasn't it? It was on the Raiders Twitter.
Yeah, it was behind
place your pork. So what's Audio Technica gonna give me? That's what I want to know. Okay, what do we got next?
Grinds my gears.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Ooh.
Have you got anything in the grinds?
Yeah. There has been something that grinds my gears. Right. In the match on Saturday, we had two HIAs. One for Seb Chris, where there was an incident where he got hit in the temple, as we said, and he went off. It was innocuous. It was an accident. Right. It goes on that way, and you lose that. Then we have Jordan Rapana, who's hit when it's clearly Caesar's come through, and he's hit him. Now, it's Aiden Caesar, so he is not exactly front and center of headhunting, man. It's not his fault.
But I think when Aiden Caesar came on the field, you know, he'd be sitting on the bench for, 60 minutes, pent up frustration, and he went out there and he really tried to, like, you know.
He really did. But with him, right, it's not malice aforethought, right? So he did it. But the issue is he got him, and then there was grief at Rapana staying down, in spite of the fact
that
his neck and to the side of his head.
Yeah, and Caesar was also giving it to him when he was staying down. And when you see on the footage at the end of the game, Caesar's gone up to Rapana, and Rapa's still not happy with Caesar about obviously accusing him of faking or lying down or whatever. And then sort of the tension is broken up as a happy-go-lucky Nick Kotrick arrives without a care in the world.
Yeah. No, he's not.
He's just a happy kid.
He is. He's a happy kid.
He's not really a footballer. He's just a happy kid.
Here's the thing about that, right? We then got to the position where for the last 15 minutes of the match, basically, he came back on with two to go, but for 15 of the last 17 minutes of the match, Rapana goes off for an incident that was found to be worthy of a penalty, right, when he gets hit in the head by an opposition player. Now, the issue is, for grinding my gears, is this. If he has to go off for something, which he passed, by the way, and he said he was always going to pass. He said that he went off, you know, like against his will.
Yeah, he was swearing the whole time he went off.
If he goes off and it's as a result of an incident where it was adjudged to be foul play, maybe not, you know, 10 in the bin or whatever, go on, then there has to be something that comes in for that. Either one, activating the 18th man.
If he failed his HIA, wouldn't the 18th man be?
Nope,
three?
It wouldn't, because it has to be. You have to have more than one failure of the HIA to do it. And it has to be.
But that's Deb, Chris, and Jordan Rapana. That would have been the second one.
Yeah, but by the time he did it after the 15 minutes, unless he did it beforehand, we got 2 minutes for that purpose, right? They've taken him off the field. They've done a backline. Now, we had Hudson Young and we had Zach Hosking in the centres, and that was fine. Okay. On that particular day, it was okay.
It was only the Tigers.
But imagine if it was Elliot Whitehead that had to step out to the centres. They'd step around him, right? It wouldn't have been a problem. So my issue is, if they're forcing the HIA, at that stage, it is penalising the club that was wronged against. So the easy option is to say, for this purpose, you don't have to reshuffle. Your 18th man is activated. Or we've now decided this person has to have a head injury assessment. It was his foul play. So therefore, the person who did it, Aidan Caesar, there's 10 minutes in the bin.
Did Caesar go on report at the time?
He didn't go on report.
Because he did get charged. And he did subsequently get charged.
It wasn't worthy of a report or a charge. It was clearly...
It was penalty sufficient. But
But my issue is here, it wasn't of our doing. They've then forced a player off the field for their own benefit against the interest of the team, which isn't what you should be doing with head injury assessments, but it penalises just them. And even though it's an accident, there's no recompense for that side. So neither the 18th man is activated, neither is there a sin bin. One of those two things has to happen. And the fact that it doesn't means it's a half-assed rule and it grinds my gears.
Okay. This has been the most discombobulated podcast I think we've ever had. But do we want to cover off on the Tigers game a bit more? Because we've kind of gone into different things. Matt's about to pass out.
He's so
good.
It looks like he's in a... Are you in the sauna?
He is.
No, I'm in my living room back in LA. The issue with that, Pork, is they haven't quite figured out how to
back in
truly
LA.
Reward.
I thought he was on Daniel Levi Island.
He's on Daniel
Levi Island. I'm in a sauna on Levi Island. it's got more to do with, I think the 18th man can get activated either on the third HIA, or if the player
foul
who
play.
Did the foul is sin binned. So if it's just a penalty, then there's nothing you can do. So.
But this is an in-between thing where it's not their fault. It's not their fault. We're being penalised and it weakens our team to look after our team. It is wrong. Yeah. We have an 18th man. There is complete capacity to bring them on in that instant because we're looking after the player on the field and it shouldn't penalise that team. Otherwise, players who have been in the head will try and pretend they haven't been against their own interests. If they know there's an 18th man that can be bloody activated at that stage.
It's always this, whatever way you spin it, there's always going to be ways that can be used and abused. And one of the reasons why they send players to the HIA in Rapa's situation now, as soon as you stay down, you're going to stay down to get a penalty, well, you can go do an HIA. So they're trying to almost use sending him to for an HIA in that circumstance. I'm sure it was the independent doctor. It wasn't, but as a punishment or a disincentive to stay down. But
I'm sure we've spoken about this in the past. Yeah, I don't know why you need to stay off for 15 minutes. If you clear the HIA, why does he have to stay off?
Yeah.
Like if you can clear it in 5 minutes, come back on.
Yeah. All I'm saying is if it's a result of something of being contact to the head and it's a penalty, it doesn't have to be bigger than that.
Okay. We've cleared it.
The 18th man can come on.
We've cleared it up. Matt, what impressed you most about the performance against the Tigers?
There's probably a number of things. Our resilience in defence at the beginning of that second half, when we had back-to-back calls go against us and we had back-to-back sets on our line. Our ability to keep up playing high-tempo footy and defence. And but I actually think also the strides that Ethan Strange made.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, that's probably the thing that stood out in that game is how much, like Ethan Strange and Javier Savage, how integral they're going to be to our season. And
do you know what was really
such a dynamic issue to us? It's great. I love it.
What was really interesting in the lead up to the game when Ricky was discussing Nick Kotrick dropping out of the side, he said it came down to a choice between Hopper and Nick. Xavier Savage, we didn't anticipate this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, is now clearly the first choice winger.
Yes.
Because he didn't even mention Savage. It's like, oh, was it a choice between Hopper, you know, Savage and Nick?
Mm.
And in the press conference, which you obviously in, Tim, he was saying how, you know, Savage has got all the ability in the world and he's got to have that belief. We're starting to see that belief.
Mm.
And we're starting to see more confidence and a bit more mongrel in him.
And brains as well. He's staying away from the sideline. He's finding his front.
Oh, he's I saw him like
he's big,
bagging three people.
He's taking.
Yeah, we saw that photo.
He's dishing it out hits and he's taking hits. He's started showing, and his speed's not quite as electric because of the size, but it's still bloody good. Like they've seen it. I was curious about it before the season, but they've seen what we're now seeing.
Did you guys see in that first try, the Danny Levi try?
Yeah.
When they went to Chris, the Strange to Chris, Chris kind of half broke their tackle and got the pass to Savage. Did you see Danny Levi drop back and drop the hip on Bud Sullivan?
No.
Watch it back, dude. Honestly, it'll be in the first 2 minutes on the NRL highlights. It's fantastic. So Levi's overrun on the inside.
Yeah.
And Chris kind of got caught. And he got caught before he got the offload. Danny Levi drops back and just before the ball's there, bumps Bud Sullivan hip to hip and just stops his run. It's genius little play, and I love seeing that because of all the stuff that I've copped about being on Levi Island on my own, that was one of the things that stood
out.
He's
a competitor. He's a competitor. And
look, what you know what I liked most about that match, that grind in the second half was definitely right up there. But do you know, I can't remember the last time we haven't conceded a point in the second half of a football game. I can't remember. And we didn't concede a point in the second half. And we were under the gun for that first 20 minutes where they were really coming. And whether it was on the back of decisions or whatever, they had it. They had the field position. We held our line. We held out. That resilience was fantastic. But then we did not let a point in that match. Even when the match was over and we could have let them through, there was still desperation. It was Shazer 2019. I was very happy with it.
Only one try in the whole of the second half. You know what else stood out for me in that game was when I saw two players on the Tigers team with bleached hair, I knew we were going to win. When has a player, rugby league player, bleached their hair or done something stupid to their hair and have actually played better? It's invariably, I remember Carney doing a bunch of times. Is Andrew Johns blue hair? Sandor Earl was that the first game of whatever, I can't remember whatever year it was against Penrith. Yeah. It was like 45 degrees and they had the frozen beanies.
Oh.
He rocked up with his bleached hair, had an absolute shocker. And I think Dave Ferner made him shave it off the next day.
Yeah.
Bleached hair, crazy hair, it never works in rugby league.
No. And in fact, when we were going through that shocker after we lost in Redcliffe a few seasons ago, I think to the Warriors and then Papa cut off his mullet famously, and all of a sudden the fortunes changed.
Yeah, and I think our fortunes improved last year as well when Imre Guller got rid of one of the worst haircuts I've ever seen.
I saw Jordan and Noah Martin standing next to each other at the ground, right near where your seats are, right?
Right.
Not sure which one has the worst mullet, but my goodness, they are a credit to themselves and their family with those mullets.
Credit to the whole South Coast.
Fantastic. I keep saying, Matthew, when are you going to get me one of those mullets? But he won't do it. He won't do it. But yeah, that's what I loved about the match. The resilience. It's very easy when they're playing in front. When they ran out to, 12, 14 points in front, and I thought, here we go. And then the West Tigers came back to 12, 14. The resilience the side showed to reset and get back into the grind and play it out that way was really, really good. They started playing, really simple football that prioritised the basics. And, if we're going to do well this season, they got to do that. And they demonstrated, rather than folding or panicking, they just went back to that and it worked. And the West Tigers, to their credit, didn't go away. It took them a while to go away before the Raiders, ran over the top of them. But there was a lot of real resilience. And the Raiders sides of previous years would not have done that.
Mm.
So I was pretty happy with it.
Mm.
So who's our land speed records $10 man of the match?
We're gonna get that. Jamal Fogarty is not the man of the match, but his kicking was incredible in that game. And
the last bomb he did in that game.
Take whatever Matt Burton's ever done. That thing went stratospheric.
Yeah.
It was
He has progressively gotten better. He seems to be getting better every single week. And other people are actually finally starting to notice and talk about his kicking. Because his kicking, you know, you look at his kicking game. When was the last time we had a halfback that was kicking the ball as well as Jamal Fogarty at the Raiders?
His name was Richard
Yeah.
Stewart, I believe.
And there's been no one since. Matt, can you think of anyone that can kick a ball like that? No,
Terry Campese could kick a ball.
He could.
He could kick for distance, but not for accuracy. And Josh Hodgson could do some good kicks too for 40-20s, but not the positional kicking that he's doing now. Interestingly, Dr. Strange did one kick.
Yeah,
and it was beautiful. It was a good bomb. It landed exactly where it needed to be, and there was a good chase. But yeah, Fogarty's kick, that one, that last bomb. But credit to
Strange. Strange has a very specific kicking style, doesn't he? Like the way that he looks at his foot.
Yeah.
He keeps his head down as he kicks. He's obviously working on it. It's a huge asset to our side. If you look at that game the Roosters and Manly played on the weekend, their biggest weakness, the Roosters, is they have no long kicking game. They've got Kiri and Sam Walker. They have no long kicking game.
I said in one of our chats that the weak point of the Roosters is the halves, and I got ridiculed and laughed at. But I reckon they're halves. Yeah, neither of them can kick a ball.
Yeah, well, I remember Kiri's we used to
dead anyway with the HIO again.
I remember watching us play Parramatta, and we'd dominate them, and then Moses had just boot it 70 metres,
yeah.
And I'm like... Every time, you know, they only get to the 30-meter line and he can kick it into the end goal.
Yeah.
And we've now got that. It's fantastic.
But the other thing was, after we'd scored and we were resetting, Fogarty, after every single time, was coming to the sideline and talking to Ricky. And Ricky and him were having a conversation about what they do next. And it was like Fogg's got the keys to the side and he's talking directly to the coach about what that should do. And then he's going out and enacting it. And I don't think Ricky could be happier. But the happiest I saw Ricky during the entire game was when Dr. Strange scored the try.
Yeah. Oh, that was brilliant. But look, everything we sort of hoped and predicted about the post Jack Watt era, it's coming true so far because we're following a simple game plan. There's not just one guy out in an edge just doing whatever the hell he thinks feels like
off
the top of his head, and it's working. And we've still got Strange who's got a running threat, you know. And when you've got a six that has a running threat, mm-hmm. well, then that opens up opportunities for those outside them as well, you know, because teams are going to be watching him. They're going to watch, you know, every time he's got the ball. He's going to cut back in, you know, he's just the way he can just move, step like that try he scored. He stepped off both feet. It's not even a step off one foot. It's a step off both feet.
I was listening
every
on the
time
radio,
he had the ball, he looked dangerous.
He
looked really dangerous.
But then his defense was also magnificent as well. Like, and he really is great in defense. And I said that to Ricky, was he in the press conference, was he chosen over Weeks for his defense? And Ricky's answer
was... He's not going to shit on Weeks, though.
Yeah. It's okay to have more than 17 good players.
Exactly. And I don't think he's going to say something negative about...
Yeah. I just like...
But yeah, I listened to both press conferences. I thought you went a bit easy on Benji as well. I would have really stuck it to him that first question, but...
I can't even remember what I asked him.
That was something. It was a nice question.
It's Fox. It's the Fox question is the first question, so you have to be nice.
Did they actually write it out for you?
No. It's just
but there was no Matt Russell. But was he
Matt
called...
did the reserve grade game.
Yeah, and then did he leave?
He whacked off. And so neither their sideline people, Nico didn't come, Lara didn't come, and Corey didn't come.
Yeah.
And so you need Mark Moore, who's the ABC guy but who does the camera for Fox down there. You need someone asking the first question near the camera.
Right.
So because they need that coming first. So you just sit there and do well. I've done it for Matt in the past because Matt's an awesome guy. Not that he likes you.
I went back and checked, and he was the one who called that game against the Knights last year was calling for, I think it was Seb Chris, to go to the bin because he tackled Ponga too hard.
Yeah,
he wanted special treatment for Ponga due to his concussion.
Everyone does.
Someone go to the bin because they tackled Ponga too hard.
Going back to the other thing, and they were talking about South struggles in the halves, and they were saying, oh, well, White's such a good 5'8", he needs to come in and control the side. And I'm thinking...
There's Souths fans that want Jack Whiten to play seven. There's people calling for Jack Whiten to play seven.
This just shows that opposition supporters have not been watching the Raiders. They haven't been watching.
Nah.
Because then they'd know. Because they'd, he's not a centre. It's like, bollocks, he's probably the best centre in the country at left centre. I'm not sure I'd pick anyone in front of him.
He's up there.
I mean, Seb Chris is starting to get into that realm. But he's brilliant at left centre. And there's, he's not really a centre. What have you been watching? Because there hasn't
Latrell
been Origin, it hasn't been for Australia.
Latrell at left centre is very good as well.
Yeah, he is.
He is. Man of the match, Tim, who are you going to go with?
Look, it's Zach Hosking. I mean,
it is Zach Hosking. It is Zach
Hosking. It's Zach Hosking. The other thing, Doctor Strange was very good. Fogarty was very, very good as well. I thought Danny Levi was very good.
Rapper was great.
Rapper was good. Savage was good.
There weren't Savage was good, no, but it was so clearly Zach Hosking. He was so good in every department.
Smithies, 80 minutes.
Smithies was also great. When he missed that tackle for that second try, and it wasn't him who was really at fault, he was ripping into himself. I mean, you don't want an enemy worse than Morgan Smithies is his own, because he laid into himself.
But what I really like is in goal and stuff, and the team's under the pump and say they've got to, drop out, repeat set or whatever. He's doing what Bateman used to do. He's the one that's really firing up the troops, bringing the energy.
He's in 100%. You heard Ricky in the press conference. He's our number 13.
Absolutely.
Unequivocal. He's there. That's what he's doing. He's playing those moments. He's been brought for that. He's been doing it.
Absolutely. So we're going to give the $10 voucher to Jack Hosking. Zach Hosking. Zach Hosking, I'm going to do a little quiz. Remember when we used to do the segment, Stump the Pork?
Mm-hmm.
How well do you know Zach Hosking, Tim?
No, not at all.
How old
is Zach Hosking? 26.
He just turned 27, so you're close there. What year did he make his NRL debut, and at what club?
It's Newcastle. He makes his NRL debut. Now, after he goes to Newcastle at the age of 19, he makes his debut. He goes to, is it Brisbane he goes to and then to Penrith?
He never played NRL at Newcastle. He played four games.
Oh, he's in the Broncos.
He played four games for the Broncos. So four games for the Broncos in 2022. And then last year he went to Penrith.
Age of 25.
Yeah. And then when everyone thought that 20, he must have, either just turned 25. Everyone thought that Garner was going to get that spot. He got that spot, replacing Kikau on the edge, and played almost every game, and then they basically dropped him for the semis and the grand final.
No, he was in the grand final.
No, he didn't play.
No, he wasn't. He didn't play the finals. And
who
that's
was
why
who went
him,
to the right center to 5'8" defensive position when Luai was injured? Who was that?
I
thought that was Hosking.
Cogger.
Yeah, Jack Cogger. Oh, he's back at the Knights now. He went Knights, Bulldogs.
That was Hosking.
No.
What were they thinking?
No. No,
this is the best pickup since, I don't know.
But it's interesting because he's come in and he's playing so well. And he didn't even debut until he was 25.
He's amazing.
Defensively, he's fantastic. His ability to be able to do a one-on-one tackle is just, he tightens it up so amazing.
The theory that he dropped out of the Panthers' first choice team was defense. Yeah.
But the interesting thing was, and it was right in line with me, when Javier gets that ball and starts running across the field, you could see Javier suddenly looked up and saw Hosking and where he was in that line. And Javier did the most beautiful, because he's facing forward, does this most beautiful pass, hits Hosking on the chest. Hosking was ready for it, hit that gap, and it was brilliant. Mm. Like he passed it to the right place.
He passed it to Mocco, who made that long run. That was arguably our best play of the game. I love watching that. Coming out of our own half.
But Savage, I watched Javier look up and see that. Like suddenly, because he was looking like he was going to do the Kotrick and dodge sideways at a weakness in the line. He suddenly looks up and thinks, I think that's an opportunity. And it had to be at least a 10-meter pass going across there. But it was pinpoint. It's great from Javier. And Hosking was just onto it. And Timoko, straight, it was rapier-like, was great.
Yeah.
He gets the man of the match. He
gets the match and early candidate for signing of the year. I mean, I know it's only round two, but early candidate for signing of the year.
Yep, he's right up there. I can't think of anybody else is in that category.
Adam Cook.
Yeah, Cookie's been good. People were asking on our chat why he got pulled off. It was to give the other, when the Raiders were so far in front and the Reggies, that wasn't funny. It was to give the other half some game time.
Of course.
There was nothing wrong with Cookie at all. The problem we actually have is the caliber, and I raised this, and Ricky was very strong on it. It's okay for us to have more than 17 good players. We had in that reserve grade side minimum six players who were first grade players. Weeks, Mooney, Hehepapuru, Schiller, Michael Asamoah, Zach Wolford, and there was one other I'm thinking of. But there was like up to eight
people
players.
get injured. Like, we're not gonna go through the whole season that.
No,
and all those guys will get their turn.
It's, you know, Biller I'm particularly worried about, because he's got that, and you saw it in that reserve grade match. He has the decision making poise. He might not be the fastest player or the
he's not slow.
Between the ears, he's really fast. He makes good decisions very quickly.
Yeah. Alrighty, the game against the Warriors, how are we going to do this? It's going to be a grind. I don't see us having the sort of, you know, last two games we have been very dominant through the middle. It'll be interesting against the Warriors. And it's probably, you know, Matt, as you're saying, it's probably a bit with the team selection, looking at, you know, how we match up in certain periods of the game. Like, you know, we want to match it when AFB's on the field.
Yeah, but I think we might find strength when he goes off.
So, well, that's what I'm saying. They probably want to balance the bench for that, that way.
And Papa might even start off the bench. I don't know. Like, if you watch the way that they started against Cronulla, they look like they're going to win the whole comp. And they're very proud, the Kiwis, and they've changed the way that that club is run completely across the nation since post-COVID. So now they're not called the Warriors, they're the Wars, and they sell out. And it's, if you're mm-hmm. in New Zealand right now, you see more Warriors jerseys than rugby jerseys. And that's the first time that's ever happened. Yeah, it's massive. They are the ticket in town. And I'm outside of the All Blacks, but that's, you know, that's a whole nother level. But when it comes to them, they're going to be desperate. They're going to start strong, like they did against Cronulla. And it's going to be a really rough first 20 minutes. And we've obviously got incredible forward pack that I think defensively we've been the second best side in the competition. We've got the best for and against, and I feel like if we can either match it or hang in there for the first 20 minutes, you know, our bench that's coming on, which is Emre Gula, Pasami Solo and Zach Hosking, is going to be better than their bench. So it's going to be one through the middle, like nearly every rugby league game is, let alone every Raiders game.
Well, and it's going to be grind football too. Simple game plan, grind it out, don't make errors, get to the other end, put pressure on, and then be resilient when the stuff's against you.
But, and hoist monster bombs.
Monster bombs. Because
it's probably going to be windy. It's always windy.
No, it's not. So I'm just looking at the weather in Christchurch on Friday. At game time, it's going to be 13 degrees, but the maximum wind is up to 24 kilometres an hour at gusts. So that's a decent win, but it's not a howling gale like we've seen at
still pretty big
Wellington.
Yeah,
and Tua Peake's not a big kid. So you know, you probably want to try and obviously they've got some big outside backs. Montoya and DWZ are both big, so we're gonna spend a lot of time in their corners. You know, I imagine we'll probably for a little bit of the game, especially away from home, we won't kick. To I don't know how deep the in goals are in Christchurch, but we'll probably hold the ball even on fifth tackle and try and dominate in defense and hopefully blow the game apart at the end. Because that's one thing that's happened with this Warriors side is they do get gassed. They play with their heart.
Yeah.
And you know, and as a Kiwi would say, their mana. And I feel like if we can stick it in there and we're close in the last 20 minutes, we probably will come over the top. Cronulla did, the Storm did, albeit in the last 3 minutes. But
yeah.
I haven't seen too many sides this season that look as efficient and fit as we do. So I'm excited to see us be tested. I'm probably thinking, you know, we might not win just because I got a feeling the bounce of the ball won't go our way. I got a couple of
referee calls could go against us.
Yeah, away from home, they're 0-2. I just have a feeling this could be one of those games that just be like, oh, really? But we are ready.
I think we're going
to
win.
We're ready. Oh, yeah. I reckon we can win in any game against anyone in the comp right now. I'd love to see us play Brisbane right now. Jesus.
Yeah. I think because Reynolds is out at the moment. But I think we will win for this reason, is what you just said before. I think our bench is significantly better. And that's that depth we're talking about. They're coming to a ground that isn't there. So they're actually playing an away game as well. We got a lot of Kiwis next.
Our bench is like very strong when you see the fact our best player of the first two rounds is on the bench. So it's very, very
that
strong.
Ridiculously
bench.
Strong, which is why Pork Smokey says he's not going to be starting that way, because we're going to have Elliot come off the bench because he needs a few, you know. But I think if we keep playing the game that we're playing, good grind, structured football,
with an axe to grind against people who beat us twice last year and a bit leery on it. And they're not in the best. And they might be reading these bloody odds that you can see there, where for some reason, in spite of the fact they're none for two and we're two for two, they're the favourites with the bookmakers. And how's that?
I'm not surprised that they're the favourites, but I think that they should be. I mean, who cares about odds? Who cares about gambling? It's a little three lives, kids. But they are stronger favourites than they should be. And also, too, the fact that we did point out it's not in Auckland where they have a very good record. It's in the South Isle where they don't have a very good record as well, because it's not a home game for them either, really. At the end of the day, we're travelling further, but it's not a home game for them.
But no, it's a long flight to Christchurch. It's quite a fair way down. It's a few hours from Auckland, or two. So
that's why I'm confident that we will win, barring major disasters or freak performances from the likes of Sean Johnson, which are always possible, or RTS, because they have freaks within them. You know, the star power of those two is absolutely outstanding. Yeah,
but like Matt said before, we've got a lot. How many Kiwis we've got? Tarpany, Timoko, Danny Rapiner. Levi, Rapiner. Josh Papali'i is born in New Zealand. He's born in New Zealand. Yeah, but he's born in New Zealand. He came from Australia as a kid.
Seb Chris, who's not there, but he's got family from New Zealand. You know, and I also, I mean, our favourite water boy at the moment, CHN.
He was.
See him running water on the weekend.
Fit and strong.
Hopefully he's over there. He's from there. No, we've got a strong connection to the land of the long white cloud, and you know they'll play really well. And I think Tarpany and Papali'i will really love going up against AFB.
Yeah. Well, one thing I did notice about AFB is I had a look at his minutes, and he only played 50 minutes last week.
Mm.
So if we can sort of just hold it with them when he's on the field, well, there's over a third of the game where he's not going to be out there. Maybe we can get the ascendancy through the middle.
I think we can also manipulate the connection between Rocco Berry and Mitch on the edge and Jackson Ford.
Yeah.
They actually make a few mistakes, defensive reads, and you can run through that channel, which, you know, maybe that's where Hosking comes on.
Yeah.
I imagine if he does come on, when he does come on, he'll come onto the edge and maybe Smirley will spell, or he'll go into the 13 to give Smithies a spell. But they have leaked a few points, and when the Warriors leak points, they leak them back to back. That's the other thing that's happened in both games. The Sharks looked like they couldn't score against them. Then the Sharks went bang, bang, bang. And it's the same thing in that Storm game.
We can score in patches.
Yeah.
We did in that game last year where we kind of looked out of it and then we went bang, bang.
I don't want to harp on this, but we're averaging 12 points conceded against us this season, which is benchmark defense, right? And one of those was a Wade or side who subsequently lost twice, but, you know, was, you know, not robbed, but heartbroken by the Cowboys. And then against the West Tigers, okay, they might not be fantastic. We only did 12 points. We're averaging 30 points scored. We're now starting to drag ourselves. If this can continue, that we're starting to look at what I said at the beginning, I see no reason why this is not a top four side. I see no reason.
That's a long way away. I do think... They can tire through the middle. And I feel like if we are going to win, a lot will come down to maybe Strange cutting back inside and Tom Starling having a really big second half. I think Starling might get more minutes in this game. I think they are really vulnerable through the middle. So I'd be interested to see when AFB goes off. And Bunsey Afar, we know what he is. He's a straight, hard-running
prop
who's probably not that good in defence.
He sort of got that bullocking style run. I'm just looking at the New South Wales Cup side that has been named. They're playing at Seaford Oval, 2 p.m. I might head out there. Saturday, there's no horse in this team.
Wow.
Yes, I don't know where he is.
You're right.
I know they can bring people into the New South Wales Cup team pretty late, but no, he's not even on the bench.
Yeah, I had a whisper that he was going to get picked, but yeah, that's interesting.
Holler and Trey Mooney are the props. Spencer and Sasagi. Hohepapu at lock. Then the bench is Tateo, Logan Lewis, Princeton Ezra, and Adrian Trevelyan.
Who's named at 5'8"? Is it Weeks?
Weeks.
Or is he?
Yeah, Weeks. Weeks and Cooker in the halves.
So when is the game?
But you see, that's Saturday. So this is going to have to change, because didn't James Schuller get on the plane in New Zealand? Because he's named in this team as well.
He's definitely.
So Kaya Weeks. Kaya Weeks is named 18th man in New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was Chevy Stewart. I mean, I thought, no, not Chevy Stewart. I thought it was Schiller.
It is. It's Schiller's.
Yeah, Schiller's 18th man.
Or he's Kyrie 19th.
19th. Adam Mariota 20. Trey Mooney 21. Zach Wolford 22. I think Zach Wolford looked like he got on the plane as well.
I didn't see that. I definitely saw Schiller. That's the only one I can definitely see that I definitely saw got on that plane.
Well, they're not getting back for a Saturday game at Seaford Oval from Christchurch on a Friday night. That's not happening.
You can fly to Wellington back
would
to Canberra.
Wouldn't they fly Saturday? Could they be back, like fly first thing Saturday morning?
And you then... don't get on a flight and then go and play. It's just mad. That's lunacy.
No one's flying back.
That's going back to
that's the Raiders did it. Yeah, okay. But they've already had to fly.
And what happened? It was shit. You know, you don't want to do that.
They're playing Friday night. The earliest they could get back to Canberra would be Saturday night. Earliest they could get back. Because it's a 4 to 5 hour flight from New Zealand.
Unless they charter a flight.
From Christchurch.
Just to get Zach Wolford back to Seaford Oval.
You need to get him back to Seaford Oval for that all important.
How much would that cost? Only 100 grand.
But if you guys go to the Canberra Times and you'll see an article from last week about the Brumbies, when the Brumbies had to play in Dunedin and how long it took the Brumbies to get to Dunedin, which is right next to Christchurch. If anything, you might even fly into Dunedin. That was a 35 hour trip.
Jesus.
Yes, because it's buses from Canberra or flights from Canberra, depending on, you might fly to Melbourne, then you might have a layover, then you fly to Auckland, then you fly to Christchurch. It's not an easy trip. So whoever's on that plane is not playing at Seaford Oval.
All right. So, well, there are questions
my point is, Blake.
No, it says in the Canberra Times article, though, that Corey Horsburgh will be playing New South Wales Cup.
Yeah, so the Warriors at Seaford Oval. If Trey Mooney is on that flight as backup, Corey Horsburgh is stepping in to the cup. You know what I mean? So there might be some names that are named on the extended bench. Trey Mooney, Zach Wolford. So that means, you know, Trevelyan
doesn't
might
mean
start.
Anything. Yeah, they'll drop out. They've just got to put
exactly. Names.
Trev was good when he came on the other day.
No, he'll probably start. He'll still
on the Trev bus.
Look, enough of our sort of just ramblings and, you know, random thoughts on how the game will go and what the Raiders need to do. Let's hear from the expert now. Arnie J.
It's time to rip in with Arnie J.
G'day, Raiders fans. Another pretty clinical win for us last weekend. Some good signs for the Tigers fans as well, so I suggest they just switch off from mainstream media. But feeling really good, 2 from 2. Great start. Boggs was on ABC radio over the weekend and said his kicking game has really come on after plenty of one-on-one coaching with Ricky, which is great to see. Talking of Ricky, we have all seen the team list and I think that our emails to the NRL may have been hacked. I suggest we go back to faxes as nobody knows how to hack them anymore. Maybe we can have Danny Stewart as our coach whisperer with a very simple message, if that is indeed our genuine 17, and all Danny needs to say is, pick your best 17 to win each week. I suppose it could be worse. We could have Brad Arthur, who thought Morgan Harper would be a good buy, or Jason Demetrio, who had no go forward from his pack, barring Cam Murray, and thought it was best to send his team a real wake-up call, a real message, and sack his halfback. Anyway, let's talk about this week and what's coming at us. DWZ last week, 19 runs, 196 metres, as in run metres, 2 tries and 2 tackle busts. Tuap Hickey, the fullback, apologies for the pronunciation, 17 runs, 180 run metres, 128 of those were kick return metres. RTS, 6 tackle busts. A bit old and slow now, but keep an eye on him. He still can play. We need to watch for Fanua Blake and Barnett with the offloads and Freddie Lussick running from dummy half when he comes on. Egan back at hooker is also good for them as well. So for us, it should be more of the same as far as game plan goes. We can concentrate, though, on Sean Johnson and Capewell edge. So on that side, when we're 30 metres or less, just keep running at him. Keep our speed men running outside them and inside them. We will score. The books don't rate us again this week, and I give us a red-hot chance to win. Enjoy your Friday night, and go, you green machine.
It's this sort of level of insight you're just not going to get on that other podcast that talks about the Raiders.
Nah.
Only we can give this cutting edge.
Only we can do that.
He's crunched the numbers.
He has. He's crunched the numbers. He's come up
with
stuff.
He's got a computer.
And just because you can't see it sitting there at home doesn't mean that the stats don't show it. You know, the stats don't play the game for you, but they can certainly guide how you play the game. But maybe it's time for, who's got a lift? Okay, well, for me, clearly, unless, of course, Pork Smoky come through.
Before the team got announced, before the team got announced, I went, who's got a lift? No one's got a lift because, like, the team is just perfect and everyone's playing so well. But now we've got two people who clearly have to lift, and they're Nick Kotrick and Elliot Whitehead.
Like I said to Danny Stewart, if you disrespect the captain again, we're going to have to throw hands.
Elliot Whitehead has to lift, mate. It's pretty simple. And Nick Kotrick has to lift. Jesus Christ.
Kotrick has to lift. He absolutely has to lift.
Like I said before, when he comes on the field at the end, like he's just like this happy kid that comes on. He's not even dirty that he didn't play the game. He's like, oh, there's my friend Aiden Caesar. And he goes, he's just a nice, happy kid that maybe isn't really cut out to be a league player. And he doesn't have the fire, the mentality, the mongrel in him. You know, he's probably someone that just like he's physically a specimen. He was just given this body of a god, and just found football quite easy, to be honest with you. And then he came into first grade, and look at when he first came in the team, he just found it easy. Easy.
Yeah, and I think,
but now
I think
he finds it hard, and I don't think he's got the passion.
The sport's got changed; it's gotten faster. You know, centers and wingers are bigger, and it's not as easy, and all that sort of stuff. And look, the game's a lot quicker, so finding your front's a big deal. I wonder, like, mine who's got a lift is Nicky Kotrick. I do wonder, though, like, if, and this is to do with the smelly being picked, like, if you bang on all off-season about culture at the club, and we know our club really cherishes that, and Ricky does, he talks about the history, and if you bang on all off-season about, you know, the blood and sweat in this jersey, and then at the very first chance, you just kick your captain to the bench. Yeah. No matter how good the new player is, if you're just kicking to the bench, the very first chance, what message does that send to the players who are trying to create legacy? So, you know, maybe picking Elliot is because he is named as captain, is showing all that work and all that stuff we spoke about in the offseason, all the stuff that we told you we believe in is true.
Yeah, but this is Tim's always argument that you've got to have special cases and special treatment for certain individuals. My view is the team should always come first, and you build
a
good
culture. But you build a culture over, like the form. Like if you believe in long term over short term, maybe that's the goal, you know. And showing that Zach Hosking, this could be you in 5 years, you know. Like, yes, Hosking's played fantastic, but I'm just saying, look, I'd pick Hosking, but I'm just saying, I wonder if this offseason, we know they brought in Alan Tung and they brought in that hockey, that girl to talk about culture. And we know that we pride ourselves on that as a club, that there's more in the jersey than other clubs. You could see it, the West Tigers on the weekend. Jesus Christ, you can see it. You can see it in the form with some teams. And I just wonder if the very first chance to buckle, we don't buckle. And that just shows everyone, look, even if it's the hard decision, we're going to do it because we believe in the culture of the club over any single player. So I don't know. I'm just wondering
he's capable of coming out and doing that match where only Elliot can play, and you think, oh right, my god, he is a superstar.
Oh, 100%.
And you know, and that's still in there, but we're all just very, very much, you know, excited about Zach Hosking, as we should be, and thinking to myself, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, Elliot's part of what's not broke, you know. And the culture of our club, when you look at other places where the players are getting in trouble or there's all sorts of behind the scenes, you know, Racker, you know, West Tigers came to see us, and there's been leaks out of the club about Benji not being a full-time coach.
Yeah.
We don't have those leaks coming out of our club, and part of that's because the culture's strong. Elliot is a large part of that reason, so I absolutely think that's the case.
How do you reckon the Warriors have reacted when they've seen that Elliot Whitehead's been named head of Zach Hosking's?
I don't think professional players care too much about who they're playing opposite. I think they focus on themselves.
I think they'd be a little bit relieved. I think they'd be a little bit relieved because Elliot, you know, we love him. He's a great player. He's going to give it his all, but he's not going to present nearly the attacking threat that Hosking's
has been presenting these last two couple of weeks.
All right, so there you have it this week. There is your try scorer, Elliot Whitehead, to score a try for the Canberra Raiders. So if you're going to put something on, Elliot Whitehead, try scorer, anytime. Pack it on, because, Blake, you've just delivered the block. Yeah,
yeah, there you go. But despite this current doom and gloom, there are, of course, reasons to be cheerful.
Reasons to be cheerful, part three.
And I've got a reason to be cheerful.
Excellent. What is it?
Top of the ladder for the first time since round six, 2005. Almost 20 years ago was the last time we were on top of the ladder.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And do you remember where we finished in 2005, Matthew?
No.
Last.
We did.
Last. That was when Jason Smith had come and played, and we started real red hot, and we got some stuff. Then he got injured, and
he got absolutely belted at Brookvale by Beaver Menzies.
Yes,
we're back then when there was nothing wrong. He Jason Smith put in a little grubber kick, and back in those days when there was no protection for kickers, Beaver Menzies came out and just basically hip and shouldered him with the biggest like shoulder charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gone for, I think, for like 12 weeks.
And we fell away.
And we fell away.
And we only just held off a desperate charge from the Newcastle Knights when Andrew Johns returned from injury to not get the win.
Your memory is bang on. So we finished four. There were only 15 teams back then, pre-Titan.
You sure we didn't go top of the ladder at some stage in 2019?
No.
Because we were undefeated after five rounds in 2019.
So we ended up in 2005 finishing 14th out of 15th, and we were just 2 points above the Knights. The Knights must have quite a lot of spoons.
They do. They came home with a really wet spot. But my point and reason to be cheerful is we're only averaging 12 points conceded, and we're averaging 30 points conceded. The last time we did that was 2019. Now, it's early days. It's only two matches.
We've played two teams.
It's two matches. You really don't start looking at these things until you get four or five. But
the Knights had one of the best attacks in the second half of last year, and they scored the most points. So mine is the defense. Our defense is markedly different.
Mm-hmm.
We look fitter. We look stronger. We're not leaking points.
Mm-hmm.
And the tries that we're letting in, you know, it's off the back of a mistake or a penalty, and then it's one of those, it's kind of the bounce of the ball here and there, you know, the fifth tackle tries. So there's a lot of to be really excited about in defence.
Mm-hmm. No, those are all good reasons to be cheerful, as well as hopefully we're getting another win this weekend.
So,
and the strength of the bloody club. It's not just first grade, it's the Reggies, it's the ball side. Everything's singing.
Yeah, we had a couple of losses I saw.
Natasha Cup, I think, lost.
Harold Matt's lost.
Yeah, but the rest all won again. Man, I don't think Harold Matt's lost by very much.
No, but the others won, which is awesome. And they won comfortably.
Yeah, no, the club is in good shape. And they should be. Joel Carboni, we've mentioned his name again before. You know,
he's someone I would love to have on.
Who is he? Where's he from? You know, because when Peter Mulholland goes, when Skull goes, right? You know, you think, oh, gee, we're going to be set. But we haven't, you know, and maybe there's a bit of Skull in this, but Joel's been around doing this stuff for quite a few years while Scully was around there.
So I think it might have been, I actually heard Ben Pollock say when people took out Peter Mulholland that actually Joel was the one that did. Like, Peter Mulholland, you know, was such a highly regarded person in the game and well-loved and had incredible connections. But Joel Carbone was always the one that was doing the hours and hours and hours of watching every junior carnival, everything on his laptop, everything else.
He's doing the real Moneyball stuff.
And finding these players. And look, the approach the club's taken. Look at Ethan Strange. Look at Chevy Stewart coming through. Looking at Trey Mooney. We're out there getting these great juniors.
And then developing them.
Yeah, and bringing them into the club. And, you know, hopefully they'll want to stick around.
And you've got to wonder what would have happened if we hadn't lost those years of their development to bloody some of their players' development to COVID.
Mm.
That was shit.
You hear Gus talk about that a lot.
Yeah, well, I certainly talk about it.
Raiders review with Blake and the Pork. We've got merch.
We do have merch.
We've got some beanies. There's only a few beanies left now. Selling fast. Jump on the land speed. Yeah, it is coming. Landspeed.com.au. There will never be another Raiders by 56 beanie produced. So if you don't get one now, you won't get one. And then, of course, rugbyleaguemerch.com.
Yeah, great supporter of our show.
Yep. If you hate Jordan Rapana, I hate... I said it again. If you hate Jordan Rapana, I hate you shirt.
Yep.
Is breaking sales records.
It is. As well
it's outselling pork shirts 100 to 1.
Well, the pork shirt's got a big boost last weekend. You may have noticed.
We'll see if that translates.
Got a big boost. I had one young man come out and say, "That's a great T-shirt." I don't think he had any idea that he was actually talking to the pork. But you know,
who did he think he was talking to?
I don't know. I kept walking. I thought anyone who thinks the pork's a good T-shirt is not someone who. Roger Groucho Marx says anyone who will have me as a member of club, that's club. I don't want to be a member.
Yeah, there's also if you hate Hudson Young, I hate you shirt.
Great derivation.
There's been requests put out if you hate Ricky Stewart, I hate you. Shirts as well. So we think, you know,
I'd wear that.
We give the people what they want. So that's probably coming soon. But on rugbyleaguemerch.com, there's also some other great Raiders designs. There's a Morgan Smithies shirt there. Oh, yes. There's a Zach Hosking shirt.
Thankfully, not a Morgan Smithies shirt. It's just a picture of a 4 and 20 that's...
Yeah, there's a few chips inspired ones. And there's also a fuck 'em shirt you can get as well.
Is that right?
Inspired by the sign.
Yeah, that's not bad. Not bad at all. Yeah, so go in line now. So after this, we go away. Coming up, we go away to Cronulla, the Sharks, on the Sunday evening down there at the Toxic Swamp.
Sunday, 30. That's Easter Sunday.
Yeah. And then we come back after that and we play the Eels. That's also a Sunday, 6:15.
We've got three, and then after that, there's another 6:15.
Yeah.
We got with the glamorous Sunday 6:15.
Everyone wants it. No one's taking their eyes off football for the week, but who cares? We want to fly under this radar.
And also, look, at least if we're playing Sunday 6:15 3 weeks in a row, well, that's 3 7-day.
We got some breaks. I did notice when I was looking at the draw fixture, we actually have even with rest breaks with the sides we're playing until we get to which side, Blake? And they have 2 days better turnaround than
Broncos.
Broncos, it is. Who would have thought? And they don't travel either, whereas we do.
Well, it's one of those things where the Broncos, you know, they always play on Thursday. They always get the 7 day turnaround. But the thing is about the Broncos, because of the desire of the broadcasters for them to play the glamour teams all the time, and the big, they do generally play the good teams twice every year.
That's right. But then they've thrown us in against the Broncos on a Saturday night, so they get a 9 day turnaround. And of course, we played on a Sunday the week before, so we get a 6 day turnaround.
Yeah, I think it was the same last year, and we still beat them. So, you know,
well, let's hope.
As Matt said, I fancy our chances against the Broncos this year.
All right.
Yeah,
anyway,
pretty weak in the middle. Yeah.
You have been listening to the podcast formerly known as the third most popular Raiders podcast on the internet. Raiders Review with Blake.
Could be most popular now. Could be.
We don't know. Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork and Matt. I'm the Pork.
I'm Blake.
And I'm Matt.
Or you're Heather. And Heather. We'll talk
just
to you.
Just go to Matt. They'll lose the Heather.
No, I like Heather. It's good. Heather Locklear, that's the whole link. Anyway, we'll talk at you again soon. Blake and the Pork. Blake and the Pork.